I do want to call your attention tonight over to the book of Psalms, Psalm 37, verse 29. Psalm 37, verse 29.
Psalm 37, verse 29 reads this way. It says, "The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell thereon forever." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. Lord, we thank you again for the privilege of gathering together in your house. Lord, knowing that you are in our very midst. And so, Lord, we pray for the blessing of your Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds, that we might worship you once again, Lord, in spirit and truth, and that you might be honored and exalted and our lives empowered for your honor and glory. And again, Lord, we'll be careful to give you the praise for that. Bless Northwood Baptist Church, Lord. May we have a greater understanding. May you increase our faith. May we grow in your grace and experience you in a greater way, Lord, and that we might be a blessing to our families, to our church family, and to the world. And again, Lord, we'll praise you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is simply "The Inheritance of the Righteous." The inheritance of the righteous. It's good to know exactly what God has given to us, and then also what's going on in our day and age. What God has given to us, it's not what the world possesses. The world is missing what God has for his children. Amen? Two thoughts tonight primarily, and that is the dwelling in our forever inheritance. That's where God wants us to be. And then the way of the wicked and the way the salvation of the righteous. So we're going to look at two thoughts in one right there. We'll contrast the way of the wicked and the salvation of the righteous, what God has given to us. And I don't know if you've noticed, but the world is going crazy. Have you noticed that? And it seems to be accelerating. Well, the Bible answers the reason why that is taking place, and we'll just take a brief moment to look at that towards the end of the message this evening. I think it's important because I think the Lord wants us to know what's going on in the world, in the sense of that we won't be deceived by it, but he also wants us to know his will and the inheritance that he's given to us so that we can walk in it. And so, considering verse 29, again, this is the dwelling of our forever inheritance. Notice what the Lord says here concerning our dwelling really in him in this life. Verse 29 again says this: "The righteous shall inherit the land." That's the Lord's plan. When he brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, was it not his plan that they would enter into the promised land and take possession of it? What was it that kept them out? Unbelief. That's all it was. It was just they did not believe the promise of God. "I'm going to bring you in. I'm going to give you this land." They saw the opposition. They were overwhelmed by the opposition. And because of what they saw, they threw out the word of God. They threw out the promise of God that he made to them away. They said, "We're choosing not to believe what God, we are believing what we see, not what God has said." That is a big problem, and that will be the same thing that will hinder the children of God today from walking in the promises of God and experiencing the grace of God that he wants us to have in our lives. So again, the righteous shall inherit the land, listen, and dwell therein forever. That means now and also forevermore. So God wants us to enjoy our inheritance that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice verse 30. "The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh judgment." Listen, we need to evaluate this and say, okay, first of all, who does that belong to? That belongs to God's people. And if I'm saved, am I one of God's people? And if I'm saved and I am one of God's people, then those things that God has promised us, we ought to be looking to our lives and making sure that those things are there. And if not, we just simply go to the Lord and say, "Lord, I need to understand how this is supposed to work in my life." So if there was a question concerning the giants in the land, they should have stopped and said, "Okay, this is confusing to us. We didn't expect this," whatever they want to say, "but God, show us how to do it. Show us what we're supposed to do now." Instead of them saying, "Nope, impossible. I'm not even going to consider. I'm not even going to ask God, who knows everything, how to do it. I'm just simply going to say, we can't do it." Let me ask you a question. When we say we can't do it, who are we looking to do it? Not God, right? We're looking to ourselves. And listen, That is our natural tendency, is it not? Listen, everybody, all of us know that. Our natural tendency. Listen, when we fail the Lord, when we miss the Lord, it's simply because we don't know how to do what God has called us to do, and we try to do it in our strength, and we're brought to failure, and so we give up on it. I've done that before. I don't understand. I mean, I'm going to try to just trudge through this, but that's miserable. And it, by the way, that's a heavy load to carry that God never intended for us to carry. God wants Himself to be our life. And by the way, He's empowered us. That's what the world is doing. The world is frustrated because they're left to themselves. Listen, there's no power to ourselves. Fathom this thought. Ready? Tell me this is not true. You and I have no righteousness. Is that true? We have none. But let me ask you this. Is this true to the saved child of God? But God has given to us His righteousness. God has placed us in His righteousness. Correct me if I'm wrong. When God looks at us as His children, who does He see? He sees a son, doesn't He? He sees us, but He sees the righteousness. He sees the covering of the sacrifice of His Son on our behalf. So when He looks at us, He sees His righteousness, not ours. That is acceptable in the Lord. The world doesn't have that, and God does not want us to walk or be defeated like the world. Listen, does the world really know what they want? They're looking for happiness, but my goodness, they're looking in all the wrong places. I don't know. Listen, you look at, there's so many things going on today. We don't need to look to the world, but needless to say, they're confused. They're running over here and they're saying, this is going to make me happy, and it doesn't. If you're happy, and if somebody just gave you, I don't know, $1 million, right? And you've got a vacation that you've always wanted to take coming up this week, it'd be pretty hard to knock you down, wouldn't it? You would be able to overlook a lot of things. In fact, the people that would try to bother you, you would say, well, you know, I'm sorry, I've got $1 million and a trip I've always wanted to take. And there's nothing wrong in that. But may I tell you something? The child of God has been given much more than that in our salvation. Sometimes we just don't realize it. And so consider that just for a moment. And by the way, listen, this is a learned thing. Don't feel bad. It's not automatic. In other words, our relationship with Christ is a growing process. Tell me one child of God that didn't have any difficulties in their walk with the Lord. They all had trouble. Abraham doubted and had difficulties. David struggled. Daniel was surely challenged. He stuck through it. Job did a good job as well. But listen, he just wished he would never have been born. So there were some misunderstandings there. But Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I'm in, therein to be content. That's a learned thing that God has to bring us through. So ask the Lord, Lord, show me, explain to me. He wants to just exercise. Whenever you come to a difficulty in your walk with the Lord, and this life is full of it, but may we not be defeated like the world. God has given to you and I a living, eternal inheritance, has He not? All right, follow with me very quickly here. Again, verse 30, he says, the mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh judgment. The judgment of God, not our reasoning. It's good for the child of God to consider what God has said and follow up with that. Don't come up with something new because it could lead you away from the truth or the judgments of God. May we consider what God has said and adhere to those things and walk in those things. And by the way, call on the Lord to help us with that. All right, look at verse 31. The law, listen, to the righteous, to those who have inherited the things of God, the law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The law of your God is in your heart. You carried around with you with the Holy Spirit. You're indwelt with the person of the Holy Spirit. He's called the Paraclete, the Helper, the one who comes alongside and helps. But we have to ask Him. That's what God has said. Ask me and I'm going to show you. Okay, now the last thought, ready? The way of the wicked and the salvation of the righteous. So verse 32, notice what it says here. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. Isn't that amazing? Listen, did you hear that? The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. They've got their eyes on us. And by the way, is that not even more true today? They are looking all the time, and we're going to see why here in just a moment. And we're going to see, listen, well, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I will tell you this. There is the spirit of Antichrist, is there not? There's also a spirit of the world. And the spirit of the world has no understanding, can't even see the righteousness and the truth of God. And by the way, you and I were both in the same boat at one time before salvation, and God opened up our eyes. But listen, the world, it's going to be escalating. And here's the thing. They don't even realize it, but the spirit of the world comes from who? It's demonic, isn't it? It's satanic. And so listen, all this questioning, all the confusion, and then for them to believe a lie. There's no way a man can ever give birth. Praise God. Amen. There's no way that could ever happen. Now here's the thing. Listen. But yet they want to believe that lie. And it is a perversion of the truth. And so you and I are an obstacle in their sight. And what does the Bible say they're looking to do? Slay us. So don't be surprised by that. Understand, and by the way, listen, can you reason with a madman? You cannot reason. If they're not open to it, don't waste your time. It's important to be a witness, but if they're not receptive, if they're not listening, if they're arguing with you, if they're yelling at you, you're not going to get anywhere. It would be better to pray and say maybe another day, but this is not the day for that. At least when Stephen stood before all the Jewish rulers of the day and everybody that was there and Saul of Tarsus, at least they listened to him, right? So if you have an audience in that regard, that's what. But if they're yelling and screaming, you're not getting anywhere fast. So I think God knows that. Listen, they're crazy because they have the spirit of the world. They're not going to be receptive at that particular point. Maybe another time, but God is going to have to bring them to that. We'll come back to that here in just a moment. But look at this. Verse 33. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. So the wicked are watching to slay us, but the Lord is not going to leave us in their hand, nor condemn him when we're judged falsely. Now watch this, ready? Verse 34. Wait on the Lord and keep his way. That ought to be our focal point. Listen, wait on the Lord. That means we are serving God and we're walking in his ways, and we need to ask him, Lord, how is it that you want me to keep in your way? So in other words, you know what his way is. It's in the word of God. If you can tell when you're deviating from the way, Lord, bring me back into your way. Don't say, oh, I've got to be more disciplined. I've got to be more committed. Be more committed to calling upon the Lord. Be more committed to asking him to empower your life. Because then when that takes place, when he does it, you're going to know it. Listen, if you got saved, and you all, as I look here, everybody I think has a profession of salvation. But listen, do you have any doubt of your salvation? Why? Because God revealed himself to you in salvation, did he not? And can anybody tell you God's not real? They can't tell you that. Because God revealed himself. Is it not true you were blind before you met the Lord? I believed in God. I didn't revere him as the Bible talks about, but I had respect for God. I believed him. But when I met him, he made the difference, didn't he? And so the same way, God is wanting to reveal himself by the person of the Holy Spirit you're indwelt with to empower your life, and you'll say, that is the Lord. Amen? That honors him. Now follow me on this. So God says, I'm not going to leave you. Wait on the Lord, verse 34, and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee, listen to this, to inherit the land when the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. You're not doing this for naught. God knows the battle. God knows, listen, the Lord saw this day that we live in and the future before we were ever born. There is not one thing taking God off guard. Not one thing. In fact, God, you know what? It's right on target. It's right. Now listen, it's the will of the wicked is not God's will, but he knew it was there. And he knows that you and I are in the middle of it, and he's not left us nor forsaken us. He says there's still a purpose and there's still a plan, and just walk with me and trust me in that. He did that with the disciples. Listen, and the disciples put their foot in their mouths a couple times, didn't they? When the Lord was passing through a certain town and they didn't receive him, the disciples said, "Hey, Lord, you want us to call down fire from heaven?" And what did the Lord say to them? "Ye know not what spirit you're of. You're in the natural realm. You're not understanding. You're not picking up the Spirit of God here." Were they saved? Yeah, they were saved. But they were misunderstanding some things. And so likewise also in our lives, we will have some misunderstandings. But when we do, we just ask the Lord. And he will point us in the right direction. All right. So he says, verse 35, "I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree." Boy, oh boy, big tree. Everything's going my way. Listen, "yet he passed away. And lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found." They won't be in heaven. They won't be found in heaven. Notice, mark the perfect man. This is the mature man, the upright man in the Lord. "And behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace." Look at the life of Paul. Look at the life of Peter. Yes, look at the life of Peter. Read his epistles and tell me God didn't do a work in his life. Amen? He was a tough nut to crack. Wouldn't you agree? Not for the Lord, really. But he thought so. And he even thought the Lord was done with him. And that's why when the Lord called for him, he said, "Tell the disciples and Peter also." Peter needed that. Question, does the Lord know what we need? He does. He does. Now watch this. He says, verse 38, "But the transgressors," so here we have the way of the wicked and the salvation of the righteous in this life and in the life to come. So he says, "But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble." But not if we're doing it in our own strength. Listen to this. The Bible says, God's word says, verse 39, "But the salvation of the righteous, the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord." Well, listen, the righteous are already saved, but we need the salvation of the Lord in our daily walk, do we not? And as we face the enemy, as we face the wickedness that's going on in this day. And we need the Holy Spirit of God to keep us from getting angry at those who would do wrong to us. I do. Listen, I'm flesh and blood. You threaten me, you threaten my family, I'm liable to get in the flesh. I need the Lord to do what's right, regardless of what happens in my life. More important than me defending myself, listen, tell me this is not true, is me standing with the Lord. More important, and I got my blood is red. I love my family, and those are serious words. But the truth is, more important than me defending myself or my family is me following the Lord. Because I can't put anything. Now I believe the Lord would have me to defend my family. I don't know how. I've got my own ideas, but here's one thing I've learned. My ideas are not the Lord's ideas. And so, Lord, whatever, I want to be the husband that loves his wife as you love the church. I want to be the father that points his children toward the Lord Jesus Christ faithfully. And so, Lord, that's what I need help for. My family to this point has never been threatened. How about yours? Maybe yours has. Mine has, and it can happen. So I think more important than me worried about defending my family is me walking with my God. That will be a better benefit to my wife and to my children. Don't you think? All right, so watch this. Ready? Verse 39, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. Did you hear that? Not ourselves. He is our strength. We're so worried about strengthening ourselves, and God says, look to me. The last verse, ready? And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. We're already saved. He's talking to the righteous. Listen. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. You've got to know that, and it's one thing to know it. It's another thing to say, Lord, help me to walk in that. See, God said to the Israelites, I'm giving you the promised land. Well, they didn't ask them what that meant when they saw the giants. They didn't ask them how to occupy the promised land when they saw the opposition. They leaned to their own understanding and denied the Holy One of Israel and rejected the promise. And you know what they basically called God? A liar. You are not a God of your word. Is that true? But the flesh can take us there. Listen to the word of God, and we must ask God to help us with this. Ready? Verse 40, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. Who are the them? The righteous. Is that not applicable to your life and mine as a saved child of God? We're the righteous. And the Lord shall help them. God shall help us and deliver us. And he shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they what? They trust in him. What's that word interchangeable with? Faith. Faith. That's what it means to be people of faith. And what? We trust the word of God. All right, now, what is going on with this world? I'm going to invite you over to the book of Ephesians just for a moment, chapter 2. While you're turning there, I want you to listen to a couple of verses that I'm going to read to you. Ready? 1 John 4:3 says this, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. It's a different spirit. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. This is that spirit of Antichrist. Is that a different spirit than those of God's people? Absolutely. Whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Do you want to know? Listen, the people that are championing what God calls sin. And do you know what they're saying? They're saying, well, you're not interpreting the Bible right. I don't know how you can not interpret the Bible right when God says that a man is not to wear the apparel of a woman. I don't know how do you reinterpret that? That's not right. That is an abomination. And that mankind ought not to lay with mankind as he does with womankind. I don't know. It's not rocket science to me. You tell me that interpretation, how I'm getting that wrong. And yet they're screaming out and they're having all these. Listen, do you know what will cause you and I to reject the Lord? Do you know what spirit? Do you know what would, even as a saved child of God, we can develop a certain attitude of what? Pride. If we walk in pride, will God hear us? What do they call their parades? Oh, amazing. Amazing. They are outwardly proclaiming that which God, the Bible says, hates. You have to have a humble and contrite spirit, humble spirit to walk before the Lord. All right, ready? 1 Corinthians, don't go there. I want you in Ephesians. 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now, to the child of God, we have received, listen to this, not the spirit of the world. God is being very clear to say this. Not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Listen, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Isn't that good? Listen to that again. Now we have, this is 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. Is it safe to say that the spirit of the world is not the spirit of God? Is it safe to say that? Is it any wonder that the world is mad, upside down, angry, discontent, destructive, self-destructing? And by the way, if I understand the Bible right, it's not going to get better. I'm not hurrying that along, all right? That's not my desire, but that's just the way it goes. All right, again, 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Praise God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So listen, very simply, we don't have the spirit of the world, but we do have the spirit of the Lord, that we might understand and know the things that God has given to us. So would it be fair to say that God is telling us we need the spirit of God to know these things? Because that's why he's given to us the spirit of God, so that we can have a relationship with the things that God has given to us, an experience that takes us beyond just surface knowledge. It's one thing to say, well, I know somebody famous, but they don't know me, right? I'll never forget this. Can I share this? This may not fit here, but I'm just going to share this. This was the craziest thing, but this will just tell you the world, okay? There was a place called, it was a health food restaurant on 6th Avenue. I'll just say that, in North Miami Beach, Florida. I was probably about 19, 20. I can't remember how old I was, 20, 21 maybe. And anyway, it's a little store, about this big, half of the auditorium with rows with food in there. And anyway, I did not realize, limousines all the time in North Miami. A lot of famous people come and go. You might get a glimpse of one. Who cares? Anyway, so there was a. They weren't parked because it's a stretch little Mercedes limousine. It was behind about four or five cars there. I didn't know who it was. I didn't even know where they were, if they even walked in the same store I was, because there was another store next door. So I walked in there, did my shopping, and picked up a few items. Went to the register, and she goes, the register lady, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I said, what? And she said, that was Madonna. You didn't see her? I said, nope, I didn't see her. I asked her for her autograph and she told me to take a hike. Well, that's the world for you. Listen, why are we so concerned about the things in this life? And God says, I want you to know my spirit so that you may know the things that I've given to you. Look at what the world is. And you've probably heard that more than once, that some of these so-called famous people are not very friendly. They're so stuck on themselves. Do you know that's what we are without God? And so God is saying, listen, I want you to know something. I've given you the Holy Spirit so that you may know the things that I've freely given to you. That is of greater value. And by the way, I could have cared less, right? And I thought, man, they're just people. That's all. And boy, oh boy, if they would have used their talent for the Lord. But they can't, because they don't have the Spirit of God. Very quickly, watch this. Ready? John 14, 16 and 17. And I will pray the Father. This is Jesus. And he shall give you another Comforter, that's the Holy Spirit, that he may abide with you for how long? Forever. Listen to this. Even the Spirit of truth, is that the spirit of the world? Is that the spirit? Does the world have the love of God, the joy of the Lord, the peace of the Lord? Whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Do you know I could care less about one scientist that tells me they don't believe in God's creation? They don't know my God. They can't know him. That God is not, I didn't know him until he opened up my eyes. Why am I going, I don't care how smart they are, professing themselves to be wise, they've become what? Fools. Listen. The fool has said, there's no God. The fool has said in his heart, you know why? Do you know why they're saying there's no God? Because if there is a God, they got a reckoning one day. And I got news for them. Whether they believe in him or not, he ain't going away. They've got a reckoning. All right. So, listen to this. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. This is John 14, 16 and 17. And here's the last verse. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But watch this. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Isn't that good? That's what the Lord has given to us. This was before the resurrection. All right. Last thing. Ephesians chapter 2. And we're done. All right. I'm just going to read these verses. I'm going to try not to comment, but here's what I want you to hear. Ready? I want you to see what God has given to us that's different than what the world has. I want you to see this and understand that why the world has gone mad, basically. They've gone mad, and it's going to get worse. Tell me, please tell me. Really, would you have ever thought 10 years ago that we would have drag queen shows in front of 3- and 5-year-olds in the public school? And by the way, it's not stopped. We would have said, you are out of your mind. Well, they are. They've gone mad because they don't have the Spirit of God. And listen, why? Listen, why have not all the parents taken their kids out of the school? I don't care if my kid was in the 6th grade. You think I want that kind of leadership in front of my children? But why are they still in those schools? Because the devil, the spirit of this world, has blinded their eyes. I don't know how they explained it away, but they rationalized that idea away. All right, ready? Ephesians 2:1. This is us, the saved. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's us. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air. Listen, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. It's more flagrant and outright more than ever now. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, praise the Lord, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's now. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ. That's our witness. Listen. Listen to that again, that in the ages to come, and that's in this side of eternity. When we get on the other side, all the ages of this world are done with. Then there's a new heaven and new earth. The best way that we can be a witness to the world is the light of God in our lives. Again, and here it is, verse that in the ages to come, verse 7, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us. Through Christ Jesus. Through who? It's easy to say, but that's the power. It's the grace of God through Jesus Christ in our lives. So how does that happen? That's our inheritance, is it not? We are joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. So what are we to do when the world is turned upside down? I'd say it's more upside down than I've ever seen in my lifetime. I dare say, correct me if I'm wrong, it's probably more upside down than it's ever been in the history of America. Wouldn't you say? I'd say. What are we to do? What are we to do? Dig a hole and hide? Or shine the light of Christ? Walk in the Spirit of Christ. Realize that you and I have a different spirit that God has given to us. Praise the Lord. that we might walk in the grace of God and in the confidence of God. How do we get that? It's the same answer. We call on Him. Oh God, show me. Teach me Your ways. Teach me. Listen, all these promises God has given to us to walk in them. I'll be the first one to tell you, I can't do it without Him. And I don't even know how to do all of them. Listen, there's so many. I'm just asking the Lord to help me to know what He wants me to know today. You think that's a good start? Lord, show me what You want me to know today. And then tomorrow, Lord, show me what You want me to know for tomorrow. Just one day at a time, Lord, for Your honor and glory. Would you stand? The world is getting crazy. Listen, but God has called us for such a time as this to stand for Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before Your throne. Lord, we thank You for Your mercy and Your grace. Bless us, Lord, Your people, to walk in Your ways. Show us. Create in our hearts, Lord, the desire to call upon You and to ask You to show us the grace You've given to us and the power You want us to walk in that comes from You, that will truly shine Your light and give Your salt to a lost and dying world. Bless Your people, Lord, here at Northwood Baptist Church, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.